Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
With us now, Lucy, I'm going to have to read this because you have a very lengthy title.
So It's true.
Lucy Marchington is the Commercial Performance Technology Director for the Financial Times, one of my very favorites all over the world. We partnered with the FT all over the world. David Buttle's an old, very dear friend of mine.
Yep.
We've had you with us in Australia and here, New York, all over. And I'd love to start by asking, that's to me is a little bit of an unusual title. Let's talk about what that means. And I want to get into all the bespoke content and things that you're creating for partners and advertisers and brands, but that's a little bit of an unusual title.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the team that I work in now didn't exist until 4 or 5 years ago. And now we're a team of 12 and we're developing things for the FT that we can take to our clients to be able to help grow our revenue, but probably more important, help our advertising campaigns work so well. So yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting title, but it kind of does what it says. You know, I'm responsible for our advertising campaigns, developing things to help make them perform, and underpinning all of that is the technology we use. So yeah, it might be long, but it's appropriate.
Absolutely. So the FT has done really, really well navigating changes in the fundamentals of the business. You're an old, established, venerable global brand, but have really, in the space, arguably as good or better than anyone, embraced the opportunity that technology has brought. Talk about that evolution, that journey, and the backgrounds of the 12 people who are on your team are probably a little bit different than the backgrounds of another 12 that were at the FT, say, 10 years ago in any group.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting. You know, what are we, 2 minutes in, and I'm going to start talking about first-party data. But if you think about the way that the FT has embraced technology, it's been game-changing. You know, we put a paywall up so early. And as part of that, we did data collection. So we know about all of our readers, and we have all this rich user data, which is incredible. And these things weren't by chance. These are strategic decisions that the business has made that set us up for this new world that we're in now. So yeah, it's a great place to be. You know, we've got the old brand, but we've got new ways of doing things. And yeah, you talk about the team changing. It's incredible. What we're doing at the moment is really interesting because we used to rely quite heavily on doing things that were quite industry standard. We would use a lot of third-party technology that was, you know, it's used across the board. There's nothing new there. But what we've started doing is looking at things, looking at the ad products we sell, look at the types of targeting we do. And we've really put them under the microscope and said, you know, are the way that we're doing things, is the way that the industry is doing things, does it work? Is it fit for purpose? Does it work for our clients? And what we found is that we actually, the challenges we're facing are things that are brought about by those industry standards that are in place or some third-party tech that limits what we want to do. So the people that work in the team now are able to take these really complex problems and build things that can deliver performance for our campaign. So yeah, it's massively changed. I mean, I joined the FT 12 years ago and it's such a different place now than it was then. So we've kept up with tech and I'd like to think we're leading really.
And talk about the journey. In a sense, you're holding the hands of your brand partners and advertisers and taking them with you. Talk about that journey.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting act to follow. I'm up here talking about how great it is to be a publisher at the moment, but it is, and it's probably for us at the FT, it's because we don't sell any of our advertising on the Open Exchange. So all of our, you know, all of our relationships with our clients are direct. We have that open dialogue. And what that means is that we have these relationships that allow us to be able to hear what the challenges they're facing, understand what they're trying to achieve in their campaigns. So we're building things that will help them do things that they want to do, help them deliver their campaigns that they need. So yeah, it's we're very fortunate that we have that one-to-one relationship. And it means that from that partnership, we can build things that we know will work for the FT and will make their campaigns work.
And you really are, in a sense, the ultimate sort of custom shop now.
I would think so. I think so. And it's interesting because a few years ago, I say a few years ago, it was a long time ago, we kind of started trying to sell inventory by time instead of by impressions. And it was, theoretically, it was a really, really interesting thing to do. It was groundbreaking, right? We were saying not all inventory is equal, so let us sell you some of the best stuff. But I think it was a little bit before its time, and it didn't quite work because in practice it was hard to deliver. So we've not consciously gone into trying to build bespoke solutions that, you know, just work for the FT. But when we first started looking at cookies and are we set up for a cookieless future, we really put all of our products under the microscope and saw that there were a few challenges we were facing and we had to overcome, and we probably couldn't do it in the way that we were previously, where we were just living within the constraints of industry standards and third-party tech. So we have started building things that are bespoke just to us. So we have got here by a little bit by accident, but what we found is that it's really working.
And you referenced earlier about, you know, having such rich data and knowledge. Talk about that intersection of sort of data creativity and success for your brand partners and advertisers.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting question. I think one of the things that is really, really unique to the FT is that we have this really, I guess, a hard to reach audience. And for us, that's our USP, right? You come to the FT to get this safe environment. You come to the FT to be able to reach our C-suite audiences that are hard to find elsewhere. So what we're developing are things that allows our clients to be able to reach them in the best way possible. A really good example of this is that we probably won't be a surprise to anyone, but the FT is not the best platform for clicks or click-through rate as a primary metric. You know, the advertisers that are working with us aren't selling things that you'll see an ad, click on it and convert. That just doesn't happen. So where we're trying to be creative with the work we're doing is saying, don't come to us with click-through rates, but let's try and find an alternative for you. So if branding is your campaign objective, then what we can do is set up your campaign to make sure that it delivers to those goals. So it probably isn't, like, I'm going to say frequency, it's not groundbreaking. Everyone's probably going to roll their eyes and say, this isn't anything new, but we've developed like a solution that allows our advertisers to come to us and optimize the frequency of their campaign to a weekly exposure in a week. So frequency isn't new. I know that. But in the past, it's always been used to cap campaigns. So say no more than 2 or 3 an hour, or it's been reported on because we know frequency is a really good indicator for brand uplift. But if you look at the reporting outputs of frequency, it's generally done at an average. So you could have a loads of overexposures, loads of underexposures. What you get when you get an average there is a nice number in the middle that looks really good to say that your campaign's worked. But we don't think that is the right way of doing things. So what we developed was a tool that allows us to be able to say, we can get as many of our users that are in your the audience you're trying to reach into a frequency sweet spot of between 5 and 10 exposures per week. We know that delivers brand goals. So we're setting up where we're being creative is not necessarily in the ways that potentially look super sexy or like, you know, you're not going to see it and think, wow, that's like changing the world. But what we are doing is saying, we're going to create things that make your campaigns work for our audiences. And I think that's where we're kind of breaking the mold a little bit.
And you occupy a fairly unique space. You've got a lot of great, great newspaper brands out of this particular city that have done very well to drive global subscription.
Yep.
But they're UK or London based.
Yep.
You're a genuine global brand.
Yep.
Talk about where that helps you and where it might hinder you.
Well, I mean, it helps us in the fact that we are, you know, if you want to come to the FT and want to advertise in the FT to reach a global audience, we can do that. So that is easily one of our USPs. But within that, we talk a lot about when we're at the FT about who is our competition. And you're right, like we kind of straddle that little bit of like we are UK based. We write a lot about the UK, but we do everything we look at when we're writing content is from a global perspective. So when we think about what we're developing for advertisers, we're thinking the same, where we're saying, how can we, you know, take these campaign objectives that is to reach like a global audience, a really high-end global audience, and how can we make sure those campaigns work? So we try to, I guess, as much as possible, align our advertising solutions with what the rest of the FT is doing. But you're right, in there are obviously downsides to that, in that we also, it's, we are competing against, you know, I talk about, you know, the US is a great example. We're competing against publications where people have grown up seeing things like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. So where I think we're, our strengths are sometimes also our weaknesses there, where, you know, it's a difficult brands to compete with.
Yeah. You guys are doing fantastic. So let's sort of hold a hand and walk through the journey. I'm from a big agency or from a big brand. I come and we have that big meeting. This is what we're trying to accomplish. These are our objectives. This is who our target audience. Your audience is the audience I'm looking to reach.
Yep.
Take us through the process of what happens, and we can either pretend I'm a fictional company or just a real example.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I can't talk on behalf of our sales teams, but, you know, I think they're, obviously,
when it gets to you, that's what
I'm okay. Yeah. Okay. So when it gets to us, what we're looking at really is, you know, often we the way we think about how we're approaching a product we built is how can we help our advertisers achieve their goals, and by doing things that are often a little bit different or often a little bit bespoke helps us think, I guess, push the boundaries a little bit. So we often work with some of our bigger clients, and we start by just saying, like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve? What's your message? And then we'll try and align the things we're building to that. So an example of that is we're working with a big bank at the moment who want to be seen as, you know, their marketing message is all around insights, about how important it is, those smart ways of using insights. So instead of just running an advertising campaign with us, what we want to do is try and align that brand with some smart stuff that we could do with the FT. So if someone's reading a page, an article at the FT, could we pull up some reader insights that you, as you scroll down, go alongside with you? You know, things like, you've read this many articles about politics this week, this is how much you benchmark against competition. So not only allow them to tell their message that is, hey, look how good we are with insights, but also you can align it next to something that kind of sells that message as well. So we're just trying to get under the skin of what our advertisers are trying to do so that we can then build things that work for them.
And internally, I guess we can answer sort of both ways. And externally, I suppose the KPI is if they're coming back and spending more money.
Yes, for sure.
Internally, how do you measure success for you and your team?
Yeah, it's a really good question. If they're coming back and spending more money is
same
is one thing for sure. But no, we do, I mean, you know, we look at other things. You know, there's a lot of proxy metrics that we're looking at just to make sure that things are performing. You know, we will, any kind of new thing that we're developing, any new type of targeting, we will just make sure that we put some metrics alongside that to make sure they are performing. So but, you know, honestly, are they coming back and are they spending more money? It's probably the hardest.
Hey, it's the same answer. So under Nikkei, I think they've done a brilliant job as owners investing in the business.
Yep.
Your group has grown quite a bit. Yep. You've been there a long time. You've got this group now that was zero, that's now 12.
Yep.
Where do you see the group going? Is it, if we're sitting here again in a year, are there some new technology innovations? Are there some new skill sets of people that you're looking to bring in?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
are we going to be in a year?
I think if I were here in a year, I think I'd probably say that what we've probably done is we've probably built more and more internal tooling. I think we've probably built more and more proprietary technology. I think we've probably built more, I guess, really bespoke solutions that work for the FT. I think one of the things we found is that we're so different from everyone else. You know, I mean, how many publishers don't sell any ads on the Open Exchange? You know, we are very different from everyone else. So what we found is that really to make our campaigns work for our advertisers, we can't just rely on what third-party technology is building, because most of it is built for programmatic. So we're kind of really always agitating up against that. So I think we'll be in a position where we've just built more and more bespoke things that is allowing us to make our campaigns work and make the, I guess, the FT a really interesting place to advertise.
And in the broader ecosystem between agency and brand, is there greater receptivity to a lot of these from either of those two, and give us a comment on big holding company media shops versus smaller mid-sized boutique-y shops?
It's a big question. I mean, I think that it's probably not news to say that when we're talking about developing things that are working to marketing objectives, we probably have better conversations with our clients direct than we do with agencies. But I also think that what the things we're doing is just saying that we can build things that work for you. And to your point about whether it's big businesses versus those smaller boutique ones, is it easier to do things for the bigger companies? Just from pure basis of, if you're trying to optimize a campaign, more inventory to play with is always better. But you know, the FT, we have solutions that work for everyone. So it's we're certainly not pricing anyone out, but it does make it easier for those bigger ones.
Okay. And if there's one question, I see I'm getting the look from Vicky, but if there's one thing we didn't talk about that you wanted to make sure that we did reference, one takeaway, what would that be? And then we'll stop, Vicky.
I'll be quick. I think that I would say that with third-party cookies going, couldn't get through a session without talking about it. I think that it's going to be a really interesting few years for marketers. It's going to be messy. It's going to be difficult. But the way I think about it is that the power that came from cookies is just not going to be able to be replicated from in this new world. So I would just say to anyone who's looking to, you know, buy media, just do less is more. You know, focus on some key publishers, work with them, make sure that what you're doing with them works, rather than trying to do a lot of everything, because I think it just won't work without cookies kind of underpinning everything. So that's my take. Work with your publishers and make sure that your campaigns work with them, rather than trying to do a lot.
So if we're playing roulette, put more money on a fewer number.
Exactly.
Red or black, not both.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Lucy Marchington. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers, Sam.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website, europe.advertisingweek.com, for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.